Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are now on Commandment 8 in our series about the Ten Commandments. Last week, we talked about how God has commanded us to not commit adultery. And just as it has been with every other week, it's not just about the physical acts that we commit. God is calling us to keep our hearts pure. God wants us to long after Him and not others in this world. And that's because truly, you will not find anything more satisfying than a relationship with the Almighty. That's what we should be pursuing. That's what we should be longing for. And that's what God is calling us to do when He says, do not commit adultery. He says, don't look at them, look at me. This week goes along the same lines of how we are to treat one another. So the first four commandments in the Ten Commandments are all about God, how we are supposed to treat God, interact with God, be with God. And then the last six are all about how we treat each other. And so we've gone through many different things of how we're supposed to treat one another. This week's verse is from Exodus 20, verse 15. And it's very simple, very short. It says, you shall not steal. So I think at this point, though, if you've been following along in this sermon series, you're going to realize it's more than just the physical act that we're going to talk about. We're also going to be talking about the heart. Again, most of us would say flat out, yes, we understand stealing is wrong. Whether you do it or have done it, you know that it is wrong. And stealing is when we take something that is not ours. And one of the obvious problems with stealing is that you are taking from someone else. Throughout the Bible, God tells us that we need to love our neighbors. You cannot be stealing from someone or even a big organization and say that, you know what, but I do love people, because that's definitely the opposite of loving someone when you take something from them. Our love needs to be reflected in the actions that we take towards others. And when you take something from someone else, what you're doing is you're hurting that person. Whether you realize it or not, when you steal something, you are hurting someone, which means you are not loving your neighbor. But Jesus takes it in a different route, as He's been doing every single week when we've been preaching about this. Jesus talks about this in the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to turn to Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I am using, we have some in the rows, or we have a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you today. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read Matthew 6, 19 through 24. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So we have to understand, because you might be looking going, that's not talking about me not stealing, but it is. When we steal, what are we doing? We are trying to gain something for ourselves here and now, whether it is something small or something big. The problem is, we think taking something small is a smaller sin. But you have to know that stealing is stealing. So I worked for CVS for a very, very long time, and one thing that used to drive me crazy is the stealing. And it wasn't that they were stealing things that were, you know, big items or a problem. It actually drove me more nuts when they would take little things. And I'm going to explain to you some scenarios of what this looked like. And it's because it felt like whoever was stealing thought they weren't doing something wrong because they only took a little bit. So one time I was restocking the fridges and there was this open Coke bottle. And it had a big gulp taken out of it, and someone put it back. So someone took the bottle, opened it up, drank from it, and put it back in there. So they didn't steal the whole drink, but they did steal about 4 ounces of this Coke. And so you sit there and go, why would you only take this small amount? And so this is actually something that became a very common trend amongst a lot of people, and it was because they thought they were not taking very much. Well, it's okay. I just wanted this little piece. So one time I caught this kid that came in every day, and I noticed that gum was missing every single day. And what he would do is he would come in, he would unwrap a package, and he would steal one stick of gum out of the package. And I remember I actually set up a little trap. There wasn't a lot to do that day. I set up a little trap and I was like, I'm going to put that gum right there. I'm going to be able to see him where I'm at. And I knew who it was. And so he came in and I saw him doing his thing. And I stopped him. I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm just taking one stick. So I'm not really stealing that much. And I said, but every single day you take a stick, I have to write that off and they lose that. They can't sell that. Someone is losing money because you're taking this stick of gum. And then there was one more that just drove me insane. Okay, someone would come in and they would steal Pop-Tarts. Now, why did it drive me nuts? Well, Pop-Tarts, they come in a box. And in that box, there's a tinfoil package, and every single tinfoil package has 2 Pop-Tarts in each package. Somebody would come in, they would open the box, they would tear the foil, and they would take 1 Pop-Tart. And I was like, why? This is not better to just take one. You are stealing. Just take both of them. It doesn't make any sense to me. But it's because we make justifications that what we're doing is not so bad. We say things like, well, the organization, it won't miss it. They make millions a year, so it's fine. They're not even going to know. This is something that they're never even going to hear, but that's not the point. The issue is not just that you're taking money from other people. The issue is in our hearts. And here in these verses, Jesus is saying to us, stuff here, everything on earth, it doesn't matter. He says, do not try and gain things here. It does not matter how much you have here because none of it is going to be here when you leave. It's gone. You can't take it with you. And he says, store up your treasures in heaven. And that means that we need to care more about our afterlife than the life that we live right here, right now. Verse 21 says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So when you are wanting things and you're looking to gain more, or maybe you're getting them from ill gains by stealing, your heart is not on God. Your heart is not on the afterlife. Your heart is not about what's going to happen later. But we have to understand all that matters is eternity because you're going to die here. I know it's a spoiler alert for a lot of people. You're not going to make it forever. You will die one day and you will be judged accordingly. All of the things that we have done here, we will answer for. And Jesus is saying, while you're here on this earth, do one thing and one thing alone, and that is follow God, follow His commands, care more about what you can do for God while you're here on this earth than longing for the things that you can gain here and now. You are not working towards eternity with God when all you're doing is worrying about what you can have now. And Jesus gives us an example of what this looks like, and he says, what you're longing for, what you are seeking for, what you are desiring, that shows what matters to you most. What you're serving here and now. If you're desiring stuff right now, no matter what it is, it says you will be corrupt because God is not the things here. He says that we need to fill our hearts and minds with light. And we know that God is light. You have to fill your hearts and minds with God. God's ways are light. Following God is following the light. But then there comes this conundrum that always gets asked, right? So you have someone who is in need. You have a person who is starving, and they have children that are starving as well. And so the question comes up, is it okay at this point to steal and to provide for these children? But I think there's an even bigger question that you have to ask over that one. The question is, so if you're suffering here, and if your body is destroyed and breaking down here, does that mean that God does not love you? Because, you know, your body's wasting away. Of course he still loves you. Of course he still wants the best for you. And you have to search in your heart and ask the question, do you trust God above everything else? Are you willing to give him full surrender? And the reason we know that when we're hungry sometimes, or things aren't going our way, or if our bodies are beaten and destroyed, that God still loves us, because if you look at Jesus and his disciples, they went hungry. Jesus went hungry. Sometimes they had nothing to eat. Sometimes they had nowhere to sleep. Some of them were beaten. Some of them were imprisoned. Some of them were killed. And the truth is, yes, it's a horrible injustice to know that there are people starving in this world. And as Christians, we are called to help those in need, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to help all those that we can. But you have that question in times of darkness and suffering, when you feel like you don't have enough, will you still trust and follow God? And so Jesus brings this up in the next part of Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So it starts off very strong. He says, do not worry about your life, your food, your drink, your body. And the problem is when you read this, you can take this the wrong way and you could say, well, no one should be starving then. Because he's talking about how he feeds the birds. That no one will ever go hungry. That no one will ever be in need. But that is obviously not what Jesus is portraying here, because he himself went hungry. He himself went without his needs. And we have to understand what he was talking about. In verses 31 through 33 is where Jesus reveals what truly matters. He says, do not worry about your food, your drinks, or your clothes, because that's what the world worries about. Those who do not know God, they worry about all of their earthly needs. Well, what am I going to do today to survive? Verse 33, Jesus tells us what we should be doing. As I always say, it's not just a list of don'ts. We get a lot of things that tell us the do's. This is what we should be doing. And it says right here, but seek God's kingdom. Seek to follow God with everything that you are, through the good and the bad, through the times without and the times of plenty. This time on earth is short. It can seem very long when you are suffering. But you have to know, it will all end, and we will be with God when we leave here. And when we do meet with God, I pray personally that God will look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. That God will say that I loved him more than anything else that was here on this earth with me. So it brings up that big question. Do you trust God completely? Well, we're going to look at one more group of verses, and we're going to look at someone who trusted God completely with his life, and that's Genesis 22, 1 through 18. Genesis 22, 1 through 18. Before we read these verses, I want to give you a little background. This is a story about a man named Abraham. And Abraham had a wife named Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were told by God that God would make a great nation from their descendants. But the funny thing is, Abraham and Sarah, they didn't have any children. They didn't have a single child, and they were way late in their years. So how could God make a great nation from their descendants? Well, when Abraham was around 100 and Sarah was around 90, they had a son named Isaac. And it's because God kept his promise to give them a child that they wanted for so long. And here is a story of Abraham's trust in God. Genesis 22, 1 through 19. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain, the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servant, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So God calls to Abraham, and he says to him, "I want you to give your son to me. I want you to take your one and only son, Isaac, whom you've been promised, and I want you to sacrifice him for me." This is the one that God had promised for so long. They named him Isaac because they had him so late in life, they thought it was funny, and that's what Isaac means. God said, "Take your love, take your hopes, take your dreams, everything that means the most to you right now, I want you to sacrifice it for me." That's a huge ask. And Abraham had no clue what was going to happen. All that Abraham knew is that God is good through all of it. He knew that he could trust God with everything, and that was including the thing that he loved most on this earth. And that is shown clearly in verse 8. Abraham says to his son, "It's okay. God will provide the offering." You have to understand that Abraham was upset. It said it was days that they were heading to this place. Abraham was nervous. Abraham did not know what to expect. This had to be so painful and so hard to even contemplate the fact that you're going to sacrifice your one and only son. Think about that journey. Taking your beloved child, packing them up, walking up a mountainside together, knowing that you're going to do this thing of killing your son right there. Abraham had to be in agony over this. But again, the only thing Abraham knew is that he knew he could hold on to that God is good. I can trust God. God knows what is best, and that God will take care of it. So they build the altar. Abraham lays his son on this altar to sacrifice him, and the angel of the Lord stops him. In verse 12, it says, "I know that you fear God now. I can see it because you withheld nothing from him." This is such an extreme example of trust in God. But Abraham was ready to give it all up. And as we talk about all the time, it's not just about the act that you're committing, it's about your heart. When God says, "Do not steal," He wants us to not hurt others. But more importantly, He wants us to rely on Him alone. No matter how hard things become, no matter how bleak it may look, we are to follow God and trust Him. And this is all a reflection of God's love for us. God sent His one and only Son, His perfect Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of us. And it wasn't because we were deserving. He didn't look down and say, "Well, this is the moment. They seem to be good enough now. Let's go ahead and make this sacrifice." No, He did it while we were sinners. He did it while we hated Him. He did it because He loves us. God gave us everything. God gave us His Son. And you have to know He did it personally for you. It was so that you could be saved from your sin and so you could glorify God with your life. So how can we glorify God? By keeping His commands. Do not steal. Do not take things that are not yours. Love your neighbor. Most importantly, trust God with your whole heart. Do not long for the things of this world. You should be longing for Him. Long for His peace and comfort. Long for the things that are not of this world. The hope and future that we have is with God when we leave here. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. Do not long for the things that are here. This week, I want you to pray that you can set your hearts on things above. Meaning this week, I want you to go to God and pray that you can long for God in every situation, to want nothing more than to follow Him, to follow His commands, and do this through the good and the bad of this life. This world is rough. Living in this world hurts. But one day, we'll be in a place with no more pain. We'll be in a place with no more suffering. We'll be in a place where we are with God. So while you're here, follow Him now. Trust Him completely and finish this life strong. Live for Him and Him alone. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank You so much for every single day that You give us, every breath You give us. I pray that while we are here, we can serve You completely, that we can set our hearts and our minds on things above. It's not about what we can gain here. It's not about the things that we want here. It's all about You. It's all about being with You. It's all about serving You. I pray that as we leave here and we go into this world, whether things are good or bad, that we will follow You, that we will know that God, no matter what happens, You are good, You are worthy, and You are enough. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.